Ah, greetings and salutations. to steal a line there. Tell you what, I'll put it in chat.
That's Heathers, isn't it? Good film.
No, that's...
Isn't it?
That's Arch.
Arch.
Yeah, yeah. That's Ash Warhammer.
He's nicked that from fucking Heathers, the movie. Great movie, by the way.
But yes. It's his regular thing. Yes, but as you guys will see, welcome. We're going to stream on this topic until they take us down. Hopefully they won't. I've tried to be clever with the description. Hopefully we won't get keyworded too much. We'll have to waffle for me with the first couple of minutes, but we might dodge the bots here.
Us waffle? We never manage to waffle. We're always really on point and concise.
I don't know, yeah. I've put the name as the Building 6 Plus 1 commemorative stream, as you've probably seen.
Yes.
So maybe we'll get round it. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, it is only Google and YouTube people. They're not that bright.
Well, there's been a lot of serendipity with the event, let's say. The big event. The airplane emoji and the pause symbol. There's all the Afghanistan stuff. Like, this whole 20 years thing is going to be... I don't know, it's going to be more poignant than I thought it was going to be. They seem to be re-pivoting and trying to make this like as high impact as possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the whole fucking going into the dealing with the Taliban. It's like, well, they were there, sort of. They weren't in Iraq. We went into Iraq. That was George Bush needing to find a reason to go and finish off his daddy's work.
Yeah, they went to Iraq looking for Al Qaeda, and they ended up like the John Travolta GIF. You know, they were looking left, couldn't find those weapons of mass destruction.
They had a guy called Hans looking for arms. Do you remember
Fuck
that?
Fuck you, Hans Bricks.
Hans Bricks. I always like the fact that they got a guy called Hans looking for arms. There was some irony there.
I remade one of my better memes for the thumbnail as well. Because I made an old image that was just, it was just the spoonful of baby food in low res and a low res image of the World Trade Center, and the file was just called "Here Comes the Aeroplane." one of my earlier memes. I don't know. Sometimes it takes a while for people to get that one, so I thought I'd just add the text there and expedite the process. It's like, what's the joke? I don't get the joke. Oh no. Oh dear me!
There was also some memes going around in those days. Do you remember people going, "Oh, if you look up this flight number in Wingdings, it's got a plane and a two towers emoji," and this, that, and the other, and it was, you know, it was a bit faked and a bit forced. But there was lots of stuff going around back then.
Tell you what, I remember. I remember Microsoft Word 97 flight simulators. I remember.
Oh yeah.
Mhm. That's a deep cut. That is. Because they used to have Word 97 on my school computers. Because, you know, even though it was, you know, 2004 at that point, the school hadn't upgraded yet. So they had a version of a lot of the Microsoft software with a huge amount of Easter eggs in it.
Yeah.
So.
God.
Random.
God, I hate you. I hate you when you say that. I was at work. I was actually busy working hard in 2001. You're like, oh, I was at school in 2004.
Yeah. Hardly working. I don't know. Well, that kind of segues us into our first point, though, which is, you know, I was nearly 10 when 9/11 happened. So I'm actually one of the, I guess, first generation of people who can remember it properly and maybe have processed some of it, being, you know, a 10-year-old. Like, people younger than me don't remember 9/11. They don't remember the world before it in any meaningful way.
Yeah.
Which is why I wanted to, you know, gazing well into the future here, where we're not finished with the democratization stuff yet. We will still have episodes of that. We are going to do, you know, next week we've got Mr. AA on, who's unfortunately a bit unwell this week. That's why we didn't announce it too far ahead of time. So he's going to be with us next week, Mr. Academic Agent. But the week after, we will be doing 1945 to 1950. But if we ever do post-democratization, I want to cut that off hard at you know, 2000, not just because it makes sense, because we did 900, 1950,
no.
But because, like, 2000 is, like, the last year of the before time, you know, the long, long ago, to keep quoting Mad Max 2.
How old, hold on a second, let me just have a think. How old was I in 2000? I'd have been, like, 27? Yeah.
You're basically my age, yeah.
Yeah, I was 27. Oh, God. Oh, this is, yeah. It was funny, though, because I was working. I was working at the time. I was working in this IT company doing IT sales and, you know, some other bits and bobs and in my free time. And when it happened, I suddenly had people from... I got a friend in Dubai. I'd got a friend in Hong Kong. I'd got friends in London. I'd got a friend of mine in Toronto. Basically, I was taking calls from all over the fucking world. Yeah, all phoning through to my boss... And it's like, oh, I'm phoning from this country. Can I speak to James, please? And it's like, who are you? And why are you taking calls from all over the world when this has happened? I was like, shut up, it's none of your business. I'm just, yeah, oh, yeah, no. Just chatting to these people about what was going off. And, yeah. I just realized I gave everyone my name then. Oh, well. But
fine, that's fine. People won't remember. They won't care, and it's not particularly identifying. To be
no. They have a
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, we're hoping the CAA doesn't, you know, set alight the diesel tanks in the basement of the stream and take us off air. But you know what, that is a whole thing about just how many people either were too young to remember the world before 9/11 or just have, like, they've got so used to the quote-unquote new normal post 9/11 that they blank it out of their heads. Because the, I don't know, a big thing we talked about off-air was, like, the whole TSA thing.
Yeah.
And I do not remember, in a meaningful sense, flying before 9/11. I don't.
Oh, I do. I do. It was joy. You could turn, it was like, oh, my flight is in half an hour. Or my flight is in an hour. I better get to the airport. You get there, and you're going to get there in 10 minutes. And it's 40 minutes to go straight through airport security, passport control, and run to the gate. And you'd get there. You would do that. You could get to an airport within an hour before the plane took off. And get there and know your bags would be on, and everything else. And these days, 2 hours at least
yeah,
to get
at
through.
At least, yeah, you have. I, the thing is, I've been quite lucky. I've tended to fly recently for business reasons because of my, you know, my job stuff.
Mm.
And I've been flying generally early in the morning or late at night, just because of how the logistics of it worked. And I've got through security really quickly. But the problem is, you still have to get there 2 hours in advance in case there's like a scanner down.
Yep.
Or there's a very popular flight, or it's just, it's so miserable and people forget. I know we got up the South Park, I gotta check your asshole.
Oh, where is that? Hold on a second, let me just, let me grab that.
We may or may not put on screen.
Yes, yeah, no, the, oh,
it's
dear.
A rather good one, that one. It is a
yeah,
rather good one.
Let me just...
But the issue is that, like, overnight air travel went from relatively convenient to horrendously inconvenient. And let's not forget that this was sold as a temporary measure, as they always are. But I don't have to bring them up. You know, I don't have to evidence this to people because they, you know, this is just true. Like, people won't deny this fact, but there's a huge amount of media stuff at the time talking about these new temporary travel measures, these new temporary security measures in airports. Because before 9/11, it is a fact of life that airports handled their own security. It's amazing to think about now. It's amazing to think about in the wake of, like, all the plane hijackings in the 70s, because that was just a thing that happened in the 70s. The planes got hijacked and generally people got out okay after whatever liberation front made whatever point they were trying to make.
You'd got all manner of things cracking off in the Middle East. You'd got people like the Red Army faction, aka Baader-Meinhof, in Europe, and the IRA, and various other people, all through the 70s and 80s, all pulling janky shit. And yet, at the same time as that was going off, I remember two occasions, actually. The one I mentioned to you before, I was going to Portugal on holiday. I was I was probably less than 10 years old, and my mum had let me pack my bags, and I managed to smuggle onto an aircraft two revolvers. I mean, they were cap guns. They were literally sort of cowboy... I think one of them was a Lone Ranger silver fucking six-shooter, and the other one was a Dirty Harry. But they were little cap guns, and, you know, pew-pew. I loved that shit. And, yeah, I managed to smuggle those onto a plane. I also smuggled a penknife onto a plane. No problem at all. Just walk straight through. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a penknife. Yeah, it's fine. No worries. Off you go. Oh, he's a cute kid. Yeah, sure. He's allowed that. If you want to go and see the pilot, just... That's the other thing. You go get on the plane and they're like, oh, are you interested in flying? Do you want to go and see the pilot? So basically...
Yes.
I would be... There I was as a small kid, you know, with two guns and a penknife on me. I'm being asked if I want to go to the cockpit by the cabin crew.
I do distinctly remember that it was a whole thing. No, I've been on flights where they let a group, literally a group of children into the cockpit.
Yeah.
I remember that from going to, I think, Spain, like mm-hmm. south of Spain. I vividly remember that, actually. That is a memory that I have of the being let into the... The thing is, I completely forgot about that whole thing. And again, it really does, they get you like that. They do get you like that. That's how they get you.
Mm-hmm. And now, as you can see, that, you know, that South Park clip is exactly what it is. You go on an airport, you better have eaten soft foods the night before.
Dear. It is rather bad, but I don't know. 9/11 did give us a lot of memes as well. God, Randy Marsh. It did give us a lot of memes, before we get into that, it's amazing how that we just accept all this now. We just accept the fact that, like, we live in this TSA world where we have basically what's happened is they went as extreme as humanly possible in airports after 9/11, and then it's been like ever expanding outwards. Like, they've realized that is what people will accept. You know, it's in an airport, sure, but that is the level of, like, indignity and violation of rights that people will accept. So they're just ever expanding that outwards. And we talked about the 70s and just how much more chaotic the world was then. And how many different people with access to grind there were out there who could or might hijack an aircraft and do whatever with it. And yet, in the 70s, even more lax. You know, you walked onto a plane a lot of the times. Even if it was internal flights in the US, some people could be armed. Yeah. If it was between certain states, you could carry at least a gun in a locked case. In many cases, in fact, you still can. That's one of the funny things about it. If you have a TSA secured flight case, you can actually still bring a firearm onto a US airplane as long as it's in the hold. which is still kind of cool, but a lot of people are still iffy about that. It's amazing. Like I said, I think they needed the trauma of 9/11. I've actually been watching more Mises Institute stuff again. I always watch Mises Institute stuff. It is like my daily watching sometimes. But there was a great one. I think it was Jeff Deist, who's one of the head people there. He was talking about the idea that during these periods of, you know, crisis, like the whole crisis and the Leviathan thing, during these periods of crisis, like 9/11 or the pandemic, you have what is referred to as the fog of war. People don't really know what's going on. People are very confused. People are very traumatized. And during that period of complete confusion and fear, you're able to introduce, you know, whatever measures you can think of, basically, as drastic as you can go. And then you try and hold on to them and make them stick during the following period. And that's what happened in the US with 9/11. That's what happened with all the TSA. People got sick of it, but people got used to it because there was so much fear and hysteria for years after 9/11. And with the invasions and the war on terror, all of that fed into it, normalized it. And, you know, was the pole and the ratchet, if you will. But that's what it took. It took the trauma of 9/11 for them to instantly spring all this on people.
Yeah.
Use what felt like a pre-made security machinery, really, And I don't think it would have been, it wouldn't have been accepted in the 1970s.
It wouldn't. I mean, some of the, I think someone mentioned it in chat earlier. I just noticed that some groups like Bader Meinhof were causing havoc because they wanted the state to ratchet up security.
Yes, they were accelerationists.
Because they were accelerationists, and you know, it's literally, I actually think that we played into their hands. We literally played ourselves by the public demanding more security, especially on the airports.
No, I think that was a deliberate. The public can demand things all they want. The politicians generally don't listen. I mean, the public has been demanding less immigration for the past 20 years.
Yes,
and they just frankly haven't listened. It's to do with the alignment of agendas there.
Yeah, absolutely, and certainly.
I will do a couple of the more YouTube-y things now. We are still monetized, so you can join the YouTube channel if you want to donate to us monthly. We don't have a subscribe or anything like that because the payout threshold is quite high on that. But we do have the join function here on YouTube. You can give super chat still. That does still work. And we do have a Streamlabs donation link you can find in the pinned comment in the chat there. So if you want your comment read out in stream, do send in a donation. And it does give us a bit of beer money as well. And you know, help support the stream, show. But that's the YouTubey stuff out of the way.
If you're gonna say that, you may as well say smash the like button, hit subscribe, and don't forget to hit the bell to get the notifications. Because you know, and comment in the comments box to keep the conversation going and kill me now.
you just have to do that boilerplate stuff.
Yeah, I like what is it? Yeah, Dank's done a. Than just a little clip that he rolls now, doesn't he, for that sort of nonsense. Quite wise.
Yes.
but yes, where were we saying? It fell into their agenda. I think without going totally tinfoil hat, conspiracy theorist, you know, and it was all staged, etc. Which, you know, I've been known to go down that rabbit hole from time to time. It is a fun rabbit hole, and the rabbits down there are very friendly. But it was very, very fortunate that George Bush Jr. got to go and finish off Daddy's work in Iraq because of this.
I don't have it to hand, but there's that whole, you've heard of it too, that whole document that was circulating in the 90s about them invading Iraq and bringing in the King of Jordan for some reason. There's a great clip. I'm not as prepared for this as I should be, Forever Wars facts wise, because I've got a document that I'm getting together about a follow up, but we're gonna do a follow up Forever Wars stream at some point. So do watch out for that. I've got the notes for that. But there was this whole document in the 90s basically talking about like dominoing all these Middle East countries just mm-hmm. because fuck it, basically. And there's been multiple US generals have acknowledged the fact that this circulated in the Clinton administration.
It's not even, you know what, it isn't actually just because fuck it, because it is actually a continuation of democratization. It is literally, oh, that's a monarchy / dictatorship. Let's go and free the people for democracy, the same as we did in Europe 100 years ago or 80 years ago or whenever.
Yes.
It's continuation of the same fucking nonsense. It may not be the same people, but it's their prodigies. It's their fucking, their progenies and spiritual fucking what's the word? God, my brain's gone blank.
Successors, yeah.
Successor. Thank you. Yes, I will go and.
Yeah, liberals get the bullet too. Is bringing up what we talked about in the last stream, which is the axis of evil and how they basically stapled like North Korea.
Yes, North Korea Iraq. Onto Iraq because they were best friends. It's like. Got nothing to do with one another.
Like North Korea, Iraq, and Afghanistan are extremely different places.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and now Afghanistan. I heard something today. I'm not sure if it's true. I need to double check it. But then again, I did hear it from former President Donald Trump that Afghanistan now has the most Apache helicopters of any country outside of the US. And it's the Taliban that owns them. They own 28 Apache helicopters.
Oh, yeah, they do. Unless they, well, they're going to fly at least one of them because they've been hanging people from...
That was a Black Hawk, but yeah, no, they've got Apaches, and Apaches can take out, you know, 16 tanks at a time, kind of.
Apaches are a bit... They never quite fly right, and they're very expensive to keep airborne.
Yes and no. Apaches are very good, but yes, you were right. They need a good ground crew. They had problems.
That's like $500,000, like, dollar mission every time those things fly.
Yeah, they have problems with their chain gun in sandy conditions. The Hellfires that they use are very, very good but very expensive. Etc.
Basically, like, Apache helicopters are. Their role as a weapon is secondary to their role of burning up inflation, but that's a discussion for a different time. I don't know. Again, there's all kinds of topics. I've got my massive list that we need to do something about the American military-industrial complex being a socialist make-work scheme, because it is.
American military are commies. Prove me wrong. Change my mind.
It is a huge, quote-unquote, economic stimulus. And the reason that they do it is because it gives, you know, skilled, well-paid jobs to a large part of their population. Using taxpayer money, it is quite literally socialism. Mm-hmm. I don't know, that's one of my... I don't think it's one of my more niche points, but it's going to be a bit off track for 9/11. But yes, I was 9 years old when 9/11 happened. I remember coming, like, school was weird that day. Because they didn't quite know what to tell the kids, but I remember being sent home early because everyone was confused. And we had a very old TV at the time still, like a wood grain sided TV kind of thing.
Yeah.
And my dad was like knelt on the floor like Bart Simpson close to the TV kind of thing. And I just remember it being very strange and very odd. And a lot of people, it's the same as a lot of people said, it looked like people watching a movie. I was like, what's going on here? What's this? But like, I don't know, 2001 was, it's a cliche to say, but it was a more innocent time, really. Honestly, it's not just because I was a child, but if you look at how the world was then, if you look at it, like the year 2000, especially with all the millennium stuff, was the peak of like the 90s fart-hoffing.
Yeah. It changed everyone overnight, though. It really did. I remember going out. A member of my family has a birthday on September the 11th, and I remember going out to their birthday party that night because it was like, no, I'm going out. We've arranged this party. We're going to go and have this party. God, that was a strange night to go out for a party and try to celebrate. People looked at you as if you were some sort of psychopaths. Everyone thought the world was at that. You know, we were waiting for America to declare that they're going to nuke a country. The thing is that, you know, all we'd got was, I don't know if we'd got, it was Saudi Arabia that day, or whether it was the following day that they found the pilot's IDs.
The intact passport.
The intact passport. I know, right?
I don't know. The thing is with like the whole 9/11 conspiracy stuff, the actual answer to that is it doesn't matter. It doesn't actually matter if they planned it or not, because they might have well have done with how much they capitalized on it. Like, they wrung every drop of political capital out of 9/11 to the point that people became sick of 9/11 as a talking point. Like, it's amazing to think of that, but by 2005, everyone was sick of 9/11.
Yeah. Yeah, but at that point, they had to do something, and so they went to war. They went to war with a country who had no pilots whatsoever or nobody involved in and no planning at all connected to 9/11, but they went into Iraq because of 9/11.
Yeah. Well, they went into Afghanistan first. And the funny thing is that a bunch of Saudis flew some planes into a building. So America invaded Afghanistan to look for a man who was already living in Pakistan.
Yes.
I mean... Oh my! Let me give you something. I'll put it in the chat. I forgot to. But have you ever seen the idea of the Tora Bora cave complex? Like they thought that Bin Laden had like a Cheyenne Mountain style underground bunker like with these multiple levels to it. And it just turned out to be like literally just a cave. None of that existed. It's amazing. Let me see if I can. Here it is.
Have you got a link? I can put it on the screen.
Yeah. I'm just sending it to you in the stream resources, but you'll have to zoom in quite a bit, but it's hilarious because it looks like this like massive complex that's highly organized, and they had none of that.
Yeah. They had a cave.
Well, I mean, Tora Bora actually just looked like this.
Here's the thing, is how on earth were a bunch of Afghanistanis who, let's face it, when they were dealing with the Russians back in the 80s, they were dealing with them with guns that they still had from the early 19th century First World War weapons. You know, how and when did they build this massive, you know, as you say, Cheyenne Mountain to a cave complex?
Yeah, it's. I know. It's like baby's first forever wars is a lie thing. But the Bin Laden was a hero in the even up until the 90s, really, in the late 80s with the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the subsequent withdrawal. Yeah, anti-Soviet warrior puts his army on the road to peace. Is the
Oh yeah,
the Independent. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, the Bush family were very friendly with the Bin Laden family, weren't they?
Well, the thing is, just like Saddam Hussein, Bin Laden was our guy, very much so. There's a lot of evidence that at least members of Al Qaeda and the senior membership were trained in the U.S. by the CIA. Some of them, like that is, again, that is just a fact. They were given assistance. They were given weapons, certainly, and funding. And anyone who studies the history of Afghanistan will know that when the Americans essentially abandoned them to their fate for the first time, in the late 80s, there was 3 years of brutal civil war with the weapons that the Soviets had left behind, the Americans had provided, that culminated in the 1993 shelling of Kabul, in which thousands of people died. And what came out of that was the Taliban as a moderating force, actually. The Taliban were the moderates. The people the Americans were funding were basically, like, we consider ISIS now. They were absolute mad lads. They were genocidal warlords.
I don't know if I should say this, but I'm going to anyway, because at the same time this was cracking off, as I was working, the place I was working for, later on that year, maybe I think it's the next year, I think it was 2002. It was when I was 28. I was working home, and I stopped off at a pharmacy in my hometown and got some meds and got chatting to a guy there who was an Afghanistani. He was the pharmacist there, and we were talking about IT. I was doing my IT sales bit, and I ended up teaching this guy an accountancy software package and getting a sale out of it and teaching him how to use it. And used to pop in there pretty much once a week and doing a lesson for him, making myself a bit of, you know, loose change on the side kind of deal. And yeah. he was a fervent Taliban supporter and spent half the lesson every week telling me all of the wonders of why the Taliban were great and why you shouldn't believe what you read in the newspapers. And meanwhile, his wife would appear out of the shadows dressed in full ninja regalia and present me with a cup of tea and some biscuits and then scurry off again, wouldn't look me in the eye and say a word. And, you know, largely a pleasant experience, largely had a good chat about, you know, international politics and why I didn't understand what was going off in his home country. And he knew better, which, you know what?
He probably did, yeah.
He probably did. But it was kind of weird finding out that I was there. I was basically helping someone who was happy to admit that he was a Taliban supporter, and that, oh no, you know, those people that were hanging off the barrels of those tanks that we saw in the newspapers, they were prostitutes, and they were destroying the local neighborhood and spreading disease and this, that, and the other, and now that they've been hung, no one's going to make the same mistake again. And it was a good thing.
patrolled.
Thoughts very seriously patrolled, yeah. It was a bit sort of, yeah, it sounds a bit ropey, dude. So, oh, if you did that in this country, there wouldn't be all the, there is whores. There were whores on the corners of the streets at night when the sun goes down, and my wife cannot walk the streets without being accosted. If we hung a few from lampposts, this wouldn't happen. You know, he may have had a point. I just don't know if it really wants really wanted that time. Yes, thank you, liberals, get the bullet too. That time Trigg taught the Taliban how to launder money. Maybe. But
No. That's not what's happening at all.
No, I just taught them how to use Sage accountancy software. It's perfectly legitimate,
Sage system. Fate worse than death.
Oh, dude, I was Sage accredited for a while. I knew all of the shortcuts.
You know all of the keyboard shortcuts.
All the keyboard shortcuts for Sage. Yeah, absolutely. But yes, that was odd. But that was, you know, back in those days. And then sooner or later, we were charging in there and blowing the crap out of his friends.
Yep, basically. Anyway, there's I don't know. There's something about 9/11 as well that is a I don't know. I gave you the kind of the weird pink screen there, which is from, actually, I have in like cold storage basically an entire lecture about memes, and I'm gonna do it at some point. I know I've done some in-person speaking, and I know a few of you guys were there at the event a couple weeks ago, the Shieldings event. I don't know how to say that properly, but yeah, I've done a bit of in-person speaking now in this world, but I'm hoping at some point to wheel this presentation out. But there's a bit of it here which is relevant, which is why 9/11 is inherently funny. Because 9/11 is inherently funny, as we will see with all the memes going forward. But yeah, the thing with 9/11 is that it is one of the last truly shared like cultural touchstones that we have. Like, everyone can see the, you know, the plane and the pause symbol. It's like loss, but even more universal. You can give someone an abstract 9/11 meme and they'll instantly know what you're displaying to them. It's one of the few, like, there is very little mass culture post 9/11. Very little. I mean, maybe certain music we had,
I guess,
in the early 2000s, but a lot of that was already around come 2000.
I've said this before, music, culture, dress, everything has not moved in 30 years. It's absolutely disgraceful. It's rather boring. 70s versus 80s versus 60s, very, very different. The 80s was all over the place all the time. Different years. You can pretty much identify by styles. Yes. And since the 90s, everyone wears the same clothes. You could be wandering around in the 90s wearing something that's very, very modern and just been designed, you know, last year or this year, and you would look exactly the same as everybody else because nobody has any new culture, new styles, new ideas. It's all the same boring shit. Meh. It was better in the old days. But it kind of was.
Old man Triggy. Yeah, you're being old man Trigg again.
On purpose. Absolutely on purpose. The 80s were better. But in all seriousness, we haven't culturally shifted a huge amount. And I've just seen that's the one with Trump flying into the CNN in the background. That's
We'll talk about that one later because that meme was international news for some reason.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Cool. Good lord.
I linked three different articles in the
you did, yeah,
stream resources there. But that's a story in of itself. But no, my whole spiel about 9/11 being inherently funny is that we have very little shared tragic history, especially post 9/11. And it is really the last universal, in the Western world at least, the last universal kind of thing that you can do in shorthand. Especially in America and especially in, you know, in English-speaking countries, it's you know, it's very, very recognizable. Everyone knows what you mean when you put a plane-shaped objects next to two tall rectangles, and in any format, in any situation, instantly 9/11. Mm-hmm. And that's how comedy works. Comedy has to, it has to be a shortcut. It has to override you in a way that makes you laugh in an instant. And if it doesn't do that, it's generally not funny. And that is why 9/11 memes are inherently funny. Thank you.
Oh, God. James Murray's just said the only thing that's new since the 90s is hipsters. You're right. And that is a good reason why that is not a good thing. Hipsters just ruin everything. You're right. 9/11, I think you're absolutely right. It is a cultural touchstone. And there's people born, probably possibly even watching right now, that cannot remember before it. Possibly don't even remember it happening. Possibly.
Yeah, somebody who is 25 years old now probably does not remember 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite the passage of time, but it's true.
Yeah.
It is really a different world. We talked about the TSA stuff. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's different. You know, we're seeing now a lot of the COVID like threat level stuff come out, like level zero and all that stuff. But that really was done in practice run for the whole terror. Remember the whole threat alert thing? People used to watch it like a hawk until about 2007.
I know.
And then people got a bit bored of it, it seems.
Oh, very much so. To be honest, a lot of people were bored of it fairly rapidly. People did see what it was and go, oh, it's just nonsense. The other thing is, I mentioned to you earlier, back in the early 2000s.
Back in there, yeah.
After it had happened, you'd got the truthers who for some reason, being a truther was a bad thing, yeah, because you weren't believing the narrative that you'd been told, and you were looking for the truth about 9/11 and about whether or not, you know, the buildings could be knocked over by aircraft. And you know what? I'm not going to get into the can steel melts be melted by jet fuel.
Can melt steel beams.
Which it can. Anyone that knows jet engines knows that jet fuel can definitely melt steel. It can certainly make it hot and bendy. Was it set up beforehand? Did people go in there? Were there jets of gas and stuff coming out of the floors below as the things collapsed? And did they fall like they were a controlled explosion? Yeah, they kind of did a little bit. And certainly there was reason to go, huh, this looks a bit odd. There's also reason for people to suffer disbelief. But people now tend to believe. I've had lots of people going, oh, you're not going on about Building 7, yada yada yada. It fell over. It did something the other. You're just a nutcase for questioning it. I still have questions about Building 7. I know. This is the title.
Let's bring the screen up. We've got the pre-made screen, which is one of the first actual things I made for this channel. That's one of the first memes I made for this YouTube channel.
Okay. Hold on. Where are we?
Well, it's one of the. Well, I'll retract that and say it's one of the first memes we made for the series.
It is.
While you're finding that, we got a $5 donation, super chat from Gaius Naughty Seas. Thank you very much.
Ooh.
Hey, I was 6 years old and I remember 9/11. Yeah, six, I'd say. But I'm just saying, people who were four, if you were 4 years old, it's a bit iffy. Whether you'd remember 9/11, yeah. Have you heard about our Lord and Savior Building 7? Oh dear, yeah. One of the first, one the OG Starman and Boomer memes.
Yeah, man. With
32 episodes in now.
You know what? It doesn't feel that long, and yet sometimes it does. Because oh my god, we've been doing democratization for how many of those have we done now? It's like 11.
It's like 12. Actually,
it's like 12. Yeah, it's but. Oh boy, I was doing a lot of listening in on previous reruns. Oh, people in Cabal were watching it. You know, I mentioned it.
There's
a whole bunch of us. I sat in and watched some of it with them, because it's weird hearing my voice. I'll say that. I can't deal with that. But fun, and good God, we covered a lot.
Yes, we did. Yeah, it has been 6 months of us doing those, at least doing the streams regularly, I think.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not too bad.
We've missed a few Thursdays, but mostly, yeah, every Thursday.
Every Thursday, 9 p.m. Same boomer time, same star place.
Indeed.
Yes, Cabal does prevail because it's back on Discord now, which is those of you who were aware of that whole incident might be glad to know.
I said this the other day. It actually, things feel better. Things feel right in the world with Cabal being back on Discord, because now I can just click on a thing, go, what's going off in there? I'm going to go in there and wind up some autists. And I can pop That's over true. There if there's nothing well, happening, rather than having to...
There's another good meme in there, though. Before we talk about my 9/11 meme being international news a few years ago. There's the first one I put in there, which is the 9/11 gift shop. Sorry, the World Trade Center gift shop, which has like World Trade Center towels and ties.
Oh God, yes. Hold on a second. I saw that. Where is that? That is. I have that here somewhere. God Almighty, can you imagine?
That's quite funny. It's relatively subtle, but once you know what it is, you're like, bruh. Bro, that's really funny. Imagine having that with like a... There's got to be towels with aeroplanes on them, like holiday towels. You can re-edit 9/11 in towel form.
Oh, you know what? That would be a good thing to go on holiday and pull off. You could.
Sun lounges, yeah. Get three sun lounges in a row, two World Trade Center towels and a plane towel.
That's not a bad little shitpost right there.
I think that's again from a few years ago. I think they've taken those off sale now. That was a Daily Mail article about the tasteless merch in the World Trade Center, the Ground Zero gift shop. I just think that's really funny. Like, I don't know, that's almost like a World Trade Center snow globe with a plane in it tier. It's getting there.
The twin towels. Love it. Love it. Love it, Liberal. Well said. Well done, mate. We're twin towels.
No. I was thinking that, but I didn't want to say it. Because that's really terrible. But that's I can blame him for that.
Go with it. Go with it. Absolutely.
But yes, I'll tell the story then of... and you can, I don't know, just maybe bring one of the news articles up, I'll cycle between them. But, God, when did this actually happen? Let me check the date. And this was back in 2017. God, this was like 4 years ago now. But yeah, as most of you will know, I've had some adventures on Twitter, less so in the last, year and a half or so. But I used to have memes that took off the places, if they excuse the pun. And this guy called Lucian Windrich, who was famous for one being the Gateway Pundit. Like, he had White House accreditation for a while. He was, at the time, Gateway Pundit's White House reporter. And he was also the guy who started Twins for Trump. I'll talk about that part. He stole my meme. This was during the whole CNN kind of wrestling controversy thing, if you remember that? When they got really mad at memes. And Trump kind of like, it was the whole war between CNN and Trump at its height. And I just created this silly meme. A lot of people are confused by it because, like, what's the message of this meme? It's like, the message of this meme is it's a meme. The headline here is bizarre alt-right cartoon of Trump as 9/11 plane and CNN as Twin Towers confuses Twitter. The thing is, this was actually... None of this exists anymore because both the accounts are gone. There was actually a reply to a Sargon meme, which is actually spicy, if you can believe it. In which Sargon had, the scene from American History X?
Mm-hmm.
With the curb stomp?
I remember that, yes. Yeah, no, to be fair to the Soy Father, he can occasionally be spicy, he could occasionally be spicy on Twitter back in 2016.
Back in 2017, yeah, this was 2017.
Yeah.
But yeah, it ended up in Newsweek, it ended up, where else did it? It ended up on the Daily Mail Online. It ended up on Mediate, whatever that is, which was a relatively, it's a relatively big site. People were confused about it because apparently he got it over Discord from somebody or something. And like my memes, I still see them in the wild. It's
he
weird.
Oh my god, the Mail. He should lose his job. Journalist is condemned for tweeting an image of CNN Twin Towers being destroyed by Donald Trump plane. He should lose his job? What?
It's not even that good of a shoot. I didn't even hear the top of the towers properly. It was a really quick one because I had like 10 minutes. I had to go out, and I was like, right, I need to save some of my spicy credibility, because that was a very spicy American History X meme there from the Soy Father.
I have time for a quickly thrown together, but yeah, quickly thrown together Shoop meme. No problem at all. Some of the best ones are.
It was quite funny, these articles, like moralizing and hand-wringing and searching for the hidden message, and I'm just sat there laughing, being like, nigga, what?
Nicely done, sir. Nicely done.
The thing is, there's been like six instances like this of just like my memes cropping up in the news for no reason, and I'm always baffled by them. Because it just all kind of happens. Again, I'll have to do it at some point. And I guess I should plug the live event. I won't be giving it there, but I'm hoping to keep holding live events with people in person, because that's the only way we're going to get anything done, really. Is to move offline a bit. But yeah, there's I'll plug that probably near the end. But yeah, I'm hoping to actually give a lecture, like a proper lecture about memes at some point. So we'll look forward to that one. Maybe in the future.
You have some experience with that more than I do with successful memes. Mine are usually a bit crap and boomerish, but I'm happy to share with other people's.
We have a donation though from James Merry. Thank you for the $5 donation. One of our regular supporters. He says, "Remember that we know." What is that? Titan Point. With its international gateway switch, is rigged to blow due to the Snowden leaks, and that's barely half a... Yeah. That's the whole thing from some of the Snowden... Again, that's something people forget. Like, we'll have to just do something about the Snowden leaks at some point, because there's so much in there that we know that's true, that just people don't talk about. they don't talk about the facts that, like, you know... the NSA spy hub that's rigged to blow 33 Thomas Street, New York, is a Titan Point, which is, if you didn't hear about that, that is here's an actual good Intercept article from 5 years ago. I'll give it to you in the links here.
Sure.
Trig. But yeah, Titan Point was like a block. It's like a block away from where the World Trade Center is. And that again is rigged to explode if it's ever attacked.
That is an ugly, horrifying, scary ass building. That is the most Jesus Christ. That is ugh.
That's very peak brutalism. Yes.
I mean, yeah, literally slab sided. Do people not realize that it doesn't take much to put a few arches and you know, curves on things and make... Because that looks like horror. You walk past that and you go, dear God, Satan lives in that building. And yes, he probably does. Or at least one of his minions.
It's a skyscraper designed with one purpose, which is to withstand a nuclear blast. It's basically a giant standing bunker. Yeah, it's extremely Orwellian, it's extremely imposing, extremely brutalist, and it is basically a military installation. That's why. Jesus. But yeah, the Titan Point. Like, thank you for bringing that back up, because that's the real story. Like, to actually be serious about Building 7, because it was a CIA and other alphabet agencies outpost.
It was.
It was basically Glowy Central. For a while. That's part of why a lot of stuff has moved to Titan Point, to be honest.
Yeah.
Was because Building 7 was, you know, it had security measures in place. It's a well-regarded theory. It's borderline mainstream. Well, the fact that Building 7 had to come down because they panicked and they had contingency plans in place.
There was reports on the day, yeah? There was intercepts of radio broadcasts going, no, we can't save it. Because essentially the water, because of the Twin Towers going down, the water for the fire retardant system had been damaged in Building 7. So there were fires that were running out of control in there. And there is a radio intercept saying, no, get out, we're pulling the building. And 5 minutes later, you know, everybody gets out and the building goes crunch and down it comes in what looks very much like the similar type of a demolition that you see when a controlled detonation happens. The building collapses straight in into itself. Now, yeah, there was fire damage to it. There was definitely, it was on fire, but that building was not hit by planes. That building was hit by a bit of burning debris.
No planes hit Building 7.
Yeah, there were some fires on one or two floors. They were nasty fires, but buildings like that are designed very thoroughly to withstand quite significant fires without collapsing in on themselves. I've seen buildings have fires on them before that don't collapse in on themselves within, you know, a very short period of time. And then, of course, there's the fact that the BBC were busy reporting that the Solomon Building, Building 7, has come down, and there they are reporting it 25 plus minutes before it came down, and with the building right behind them in the screen, they're reporting that it's fallen. So someone read from a script that got to them early, it seems.
Yeah. Basically, yes, but it's not that discredited of a theory, honestly.
The fact that someone said it, we're pulling the building, and then the building literally collapses in on itself. There's questions I have that aren't answered as well as I would like them to have been answered. And yeah, it was, as you said, a secure building that may well have been rigged to collapse should it need to be.
There's another one of my memes I still see in circulation as well, which is the Astolfo meme, but it's
poor Astolfo. Okay, this character was one of Charlemagne's knights. He was an absolute lad, an absolute Chad, and a complete ladies' man. And goddamn weebs have turned him into a literal ladyboy.
Ah, oh, dear me. Yeah, he's his own man, yes. It's a good meme. It's an older meme, sir. I don't know. Again, it's 9/11 memes are evergreen. They got oversaturated for a while. They did. They have like cycles of being relevant and actually upsetting people. Yes, the Unique $2 feds are sus. They are very sus. But that goes without saying.
What? Oh, we've had a donation again, have we? Well, in that case, an old friend will pop out and...
Yes, we're not going to talk about that aspect of 9/11. We're going to talk about the old dancey boys, eh? Actually, you know what?
Are you suggesting people who might not fit their hats could have had something to do with this?
Yes. Oh, dear me. I can't find it right now, but it's part of the whole series of like the corrupted global homo art of the let's just say it's called Dancing Jews and leave it at that.
Oh yes, there was that, wasn't there? Yes. God damn, I'd forgotten about that. Yes. Certain people seemed very happy to see that happen on that day.
I don't know. There's a lot of unconfirmed reports.
I'm sure they were just celebrating their sister's birthday or something like that. I'd forgotten about that video briefly.
Yes. Dancing hat phone app can't milk Saudi passports. But I can't find it right now because it's actually quite a fun one. But it's buried in my global homo folder. It's probably a bad idea to put it on screen anyway. exactly, get yeeted. But a few of you guys will know what I mean.
Oh, they know. I'm sure they do. And I'm sure that they, if they're really interested, they could, you know, get a nice browser that doesn't trace everything that they do and do a quick search and find them without too much problem.
I'm trying to think, is there any... Oh, I think the only other decent meme we've got that we haven't been over yet is the old advert for the World Trade Center. The old print advert. The one that says the closest some of us will ever get to heaven. that's quite a funny one. Oh, dear.
God, but where is that? Hold on. Yeah, I'll find that.
Well, there's a whole thing as well that, like, I'm still thinking about the world of 2001. And I don't know, I've got my, like, best of 2001 playlist. I'm currently listening to Linkin Park and Jimmy Eat World. It's all very, very 2000, 2001 in here. I mean, that's what it was. It's just, like, I don't know. Culturally, we haven't really moved on, you're right. But it's kind of interesting to get yourself to the mindset of being in 2001 and actually living through this shit. Because it's weird it being such a historical event, having lived through it. Because, again, being a child of the early 90s, I'm not used to quote-unquote living through history as we are currently doing. They hadn't really slowed down, but we were very much in some lengthy consolidation phases, let's say.
Yeah,
during my lifetime.
It is understandable. During the 90s, and it was understandable where Fukuyama got his whole end of history sort of philosophies from. Or it seemed like it was coming true. Things looked for 10 years like it was pretty much business as usual. It was quiet. I mean, we'd had the Gulf War I, and I, like you said, your dad was sat there by the TV. Gulf War I... I was sat again. I was sat in my school because I was at boarding school. Sat next to a radio because we weren't allowed TVs, and sat next to the radio listening to the radio broadcast, literally all night, every night, whilst the Gulf War I was going off. But that was the most memorable thing. You know, it's the closest thing we'd had to an actual conflict since the Falklands. And that was, essentially a minor scuffle in a sandpit.
Oh, dear.
And then
yeah, it's,
10 it, years it, later...
It was a military... It was a joint military operation, and people were excited because nothing had really happened like that to that degree in a Western country since the Falklands.
Yeah. I mean, the Falklands, well, that was a hell of a...
Yes.
That was a hell of a thing in and of itself. And, you know, we could talk about the Falklands at some point.
We need to, yes.
Because that's very interesting. There's some big military operation went off there for essentially rescuing a handful of penguins.
I don't know. Everyone in the Falklands seems to be a bit of a glow, so...
Yes, I was going to say there is something very interesting about the fact that everybody in the Gulf, the Falklands, has an average wage higher than, basically, the average earnings is higher than Dubai or something. It's one of the richest islands in the world, and their only export is sheep and penguins. And you sort of sat there going, how are these people so rich if they're sitting there in the middle of nowhere? Literally doing nothing. I fancy having a look into this, and you don't find anything. And then, yeah. Anyway, I Falklands are interesting. There's definitely something a bit strategic about that place.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Hmm.
You probably don't want to put it on stream, but someone linked us the image in Cabal there. I will. I'll put it in the chat. Oh, dear. In for a penny, in for a pound, I think we should put our viewers out of their misery and show them the spicy meme, even only for a couple of seconds.
And it's gone.
Yeah, there we go. It's a great one, though. That's hilarious. I did enjoy the 4chan corrupting global homo art period. But yes. Oh, we have a donation here, though. A $10 donation, actually, from...
Oh, thank you.
From HK9410, everyone's favorite experimental firearm.
Mm-hmm.
He says, it's either totally inappropriate or incredibly appropriate that I'm watching this at an airport. Either way, keep the tinfoil hats handy. Yeah, I'm going to say, that's not... I don't know. I once technically threatened a school shooting in an airport, so... You can be spicy in the airport. Your
that was your original claim to fame. That was kind of, that meme was similar, almost to Dank's pug moment.
That wasn't my original. I was already a niche celebrity before that. Okay.
Fair enough. Fair point. Yeah.
People forget, but I was on the liberalists stream. Okay.
Are you proud of yourself? Are you proud of that?
I was there when Sargon began knocking, okay?
oh, dear. Yeah.
No, we'll be keeping this up. We tend to find... honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this stream remains monetized. It's hilarious what doesn't on this channel.
Yeah, we seem to get away with an awful lot considering. But yes, in fact, I've just heard we've got another one. Speaking of donations, I didn't see who.
Stop being a tease. Tell us who did it. we already did.
Yeah. I mean, they found the passports right there in the rubble, completely unburned and undamaged. I mean, what more evidence do you want?
That was very funny. The thing is, I've got some saved evidence of that, but a lot of people will tell you that never happened or wasn't true. When it was reported at the time, that's how they originally decided who did it.
Yeah. They knew it was Osama bin Laden so quick, it's untrue.
Yes.
Which is... very interesting. They'd got a whole network of them almost immediately. They knew what was going off. They'd got a video that looked sus as hell. I mean, yeah. I know he was living in somewhere like Afghanistan or Pakistan or somewhere, but they had video cameras that were higher quality than that. It was the most grainy looking thing ever. It was impossible to tell.
Well, a lot of the footage they had of him out in the news was from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was from, you know, the friend distinction era, if I can put it like that.
Yes, but the footage we had of him then, and, you know, the video camera capabilities, it wasn't like you couldn't see anything in them. And the video that came out of him claiming World Trade Center was grainy as hell. You could not make out a face, and it didn't actually look like Osama bin Laden, I'll be perfectly honest. In fact, I just seen... thank you, Wes. A donation from our friend Wes has just come in. What's that? Good show so far, gents. RIP monetization. May the Yeehaw Boys ride forever and Cabal always prevails.
Yes.
Okay.
We actually have another donation here from James Merry through Streamlabs. Sorry, no. That's the one I read earlier. I misread the Streamlabs there. So, no, we don't have another donation. I'm wrong. Maniacal Foreigner, what should it be for Sargon? I'm out of the loop. Not really, I'm just teasing. I make fun of Sargon. We're still friends and stuff. We saw each other, in fact, a couple of weeks ago at that event. It's all good in the hood there. I just think a lot of people in that community, or who used to be in that community, are perpetually living in 2015. Which is the way we did the whole it's not 2015 anymore stream, which I'm surprised didn't get us taken down. Because I'm not going to repeat it, but there's some stuff I say in that stream I probably should never have said, but needs saying, so yeah, fuck it. But it does have like multiple use of the N-word in that stream.
Did you? Did it? Oh, okay. I didn't notice.
I call people who like slavishly follow the YouTube terms of service like house N-words.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I'm not racist. I have a black friend. He gave me an N-word pass a long time ago.
no. My whole shtick with what used to be like like less skeptic YouTube is that they either completely flaked out and like became, you know, shoe on head tier, let's all vote for Bernie Sanders, or they are perpetually stuck in 2015 and they would hang out a mission accomplished banner if they got the feminists out of video games.
Yes. And there's an awful lot of them that are still just running around following what Vorsch has said as well, and things like that. I am very much in agreement that there's an awful lot of, shall we say, lack of content, lack of, dare I say it, praxis, putting into action that which people might espouse to, doesn't seem to happen. It just, you know, I'll do what gets me the views, etc.
Another donation there from Gaius Naughty Caesar. Is there an old Spider-Man? There's an old Spider-Man comic about 9/11. In it, all the heroes and villains were there, and Doctor Doom shed a tear. Yes. Yeah, there's all kinds of weird, like, 9/11 core media. I don't know, one of my favorites is the spin-off from the X-Files, The Lone Gunman. The pilot episode of The Lone Gunman is basically them stopping 9/11, and this aired in the year 2000.
You're right. You told me about that a little while ago. I've been meaning to watch it because I do remember it. I watched that show. It only ran for like one season, The Lone Gunman.
Yeah, but... it did. It was cancelled, unfortunately. But I like the whole Lone Gunman aspect of the X-Files.
Yeah.
But it's the pilot of that. Again, aired in the year 2000, and the plot is 9/11. It's 9/11. It's Islamists, but it's faked as Islamist, and it turns out the American government's doing it, and they're remote controlling the planes.
So it's 9/11.
They narrowly avoid it. Yeah, it's hilarious how close it is to a lot of the conspiracy stuff. Oh, you know, so-called conspiracy stuff, if you want to say that.
Faked as Arabs, but it was actually the American government that did it. No, that could never have happened in real life. It was definitely the guys that had the passports that were unblemished and lying in the rubble. It would never be the government. The government of America would attack its own people just to facilitate a war against them, against it. No. No, I would not. No, I refuse to believe that.
it turns out I'm just precognitive. We did actually have another donation from James Murray, but just now saying, remember, you're allowed to use the Big N. It's not their word, it's ours. We used it for them. They need to get it back from us. An extremely spicy but valid point there.
Yes. Quite right, yes. Yes.
Yes, yes, quite.
Absolutely. Deep inhalation of breath. Was there any other... hold on. There were quite a few. There we go. I'm going to put it back to this one because I really like this gif. The fat chick did 9/11.
Yeah. It's an absolute internet classic. That is a real classic of the internet.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh man, I don't know. It's interesting how different the internet was back then too. We were kind of just getting into like the height of the AOL era. Online discourse.
It was. I mean, I was, like I said, I was selling IT solutions back then, and at one point. Around about that period of time, we're literally going round to companies going, would you like a website, sir? It's the wave of the future. Consider it like the telephone, but this, and showing people what websites look like. You know, in the future, there could be, you know, this could be like a TV channel. You could broadcast whatever you like on each of these pages. And you could have sound and moving pictures, and you put your brochure up there, and they were going, oh no, I don't need this. Why would my company need this? I do everything I do need via catalogs. It's like, yes, but how much you pay per catalog? Oh, I pay £10,000 for the catalog, and that does me for the year.
I think Christmas 2001 was when we got our first proper kind of modern PC.
Right.
Because we ended up with like an E Machines that couldn't run Windows XP properly until it got more RAM. That's very of an era too. Like 98 machines having XP stuck on them and not working properly.
Yes.
But no, that again, that's kind of the year. It is the year I got online, really. At least properly online.
I was online mid-90s. I was very, very early. Very early adopter.
Well, the thing is, we had the internet and we had some older PCs. Like, we had like a Windows 95 PC.
Yeah.
We could do a bit of dial-up. I ended up getting both a PC, except with Windows XP, and broadband in 2001. Like, proper broadband at that point, which again, I've talked about this before, but, like, amazed people back then that we could be on the phone and use the internet.
Oh, yeah. That was a big change. That was a big fucking change when you could do that.
To people. And no data limits back then either, even then.
No.
That's an American disease.
Oh, you know what? I'm gonna best computer ever. I'm just gonna open this and just throw it over there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna be sick of that gift now.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That was one of the first computers I ever used. Is that up there? Is that hasn't gone up? Damn it!
It did. No, it went up for a second. I saw it flash on screen. The Commodore PET. I saw what it was.
The Commodore PET.
Yes.
I still think it's the most aesthetic computer ever made.
It's very... Yeah, MSN Messenger. MSN Messenger and MySpace were actually a tiny bit later than that, really. At least their height, but yeah. Angel Fire, Webrings. Yeah. Geosites especially is something people just don't seem to remember unless they were there. That's not something that's remained in, like, internet parlance and culture. But geosites, especially geosites covered in GIFs, was a big thing back then.
God, yes. MySpace. MySpace was just cancer. Oh, visit my MySpace thing. Lots of fucking flashing, lots of noise, lots of... Oh my God, it's like you've buffed on the screen. Another donation from HK9410. Thank you very much. What was that? I was too busy controlling our meme.
The fact that these streams managed to say the quiet part without getting yeeted. Well, that's why we're deliberately being a little bit low key and under the radar. Honestly, I've not cross promoted this too heavily with certain people. It's kind of nice to have a clean break with that stuff because I was getting to the point where, even being the perennial guest, there was certain things that I just couldn't say, and that just really isn't my style. I don't do the restrained thing very well. I'd rather just say it and get banned. Like I said, you become trained, you become the you become Susan Wozniacki's house N. So
yeah, you at some point you're unwittingly
shoes, ma'am. I mean, you can hyuk and jive all you want for the YouTube TOS. They're still going to eat you eventually. Like that's my thing. I feel like I'm getting further ahead of the curve again now. Like I was like pre 2014, and shit's just gonna spring back and catch up with me. I think that's the way it's going anyway. That's the way I like to think of it anyway. Maybe I'm completely wrong, and I'm just driving myself into irrelevance. But I'd rather be spicy and relevant than be, you know, fucking Logan Paul or God forbid Philip Franco.
Yeah, I mean this is it. You're right. You run the risk of becoming unwittingly controlled opposition, whether you wanted to or not, by slowly obeying the rules. Oh, I can't say that. I've got to keep it family friendly, etc., etc. Tim Pool has become the most middle of the road. You know, he's basically CNN at this point.
Oh,
he's
God.
Not, but
yeah.
he's not, and I'm sure he'd hate that. But
I'll get you the meme for that. It's a shame because Mr. Peter Quinas was on his show today.
He was, you know, I meant to watch that.
Mr. Peter Quinas, don't bother. He says he's not allowed to say anything of worth because they're doing their whole barking at the headlines thing, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, but I like his work. He was a good guest we had on. But that's a shame. That's a shame.
I know, we'll hopefully have him on again at some point. He's a very busy man. He is doing the media rounds at the moment. But yeah, that's the meme I was thinking about. Yeah, a lot of stuff has become very... Again, I need to get that article. I have an article that I've been trying to finish for like a month now, and I just have too much stuff coming up called Barking at the Headlines. And it all got sparked because I made this meme. And it's, I don't know, I'm quite proud of it. It's a subtly good shop. You just, I don't know, he looks like he fits in that image, though. He really, really does. He looks like he fits there.
You know,
but no, there's a lot of people who have become like beholden to the TOS. They have had to become, you know, it's like how Ofcom is kicking in BitChute right now, and they have to try and be Ofcom compliant.
That's what I kind of orchestrated people to put that one together for me for Tim.
Fair enough.
I don't think that's too bad. I think Tim being definitely Flowers in a Fed van was that was when he was going off about wanting to.
He thought he invented the camper van, didn't he?
He thought
he
invented.
Thought he invented the camper van. He was so excited.
Yeah,
he was so kind of pure though. I loved how like almost pure that was when Tim Pool thought he invented the camper van.
I remember him sitting. We were sitting in. It was a. I think it was in. It must have been in Athens. We sat there and he was there talking about this and I wanted to do this, that, and the other. And a friend
of. I'm not sure that's got on screen though, Trig.
Is it not?
No.
Hold on a second. There we go. There we go. Sorry, I was too busy reminiscing and not even looking at what I was doing with the screen. And it was a friend of ours there going, oh yeah, I can fit this up together. In fact, we could go down to a because apparently people like the Feds occasionally auction off their old vehicles from like sort of 10, 15 years ago, and they're all already fitted out in exactly the way Tim wanted it to do. He didn't like the idea of having an actual Fed van. I think
it's probably pre-tapped the buggery, but
I mean, oh, you know what though? If you've got the kit to untap it, and then re-kit it with your own stuff, having an ex-Fed vehicle is excellent for doing things where Feds might be there and might mistake you.
Because a lot of like police departments will buy those as well.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I had an ex-police car back in the 90s. The company I was working for used to buy police cars from auctions after they had been used, and that was great fun driving around. You know, I might have got away with speeding once or twice, and so on, and just been waved at by another cop car. It's like, lol, he thinks I'm a Fed.
To round out that earlier point, yes, like doing spicy 9/11 memes and saying the N-word on the internet is the hill I will die on. I'm not shifting position for convenience on that.
Fair enough.
A lot of people have. So yeah, I don't know. That's not a particularly popular position with content creators now, honestly, which is a bit disappointing because I thought the harder people push down, the harder they push back. But it just seems that, you know, people would rather sit back and make a living, which is, I understand that. I understand you don't want to completely jeopardize your income, but I don't know. People just aren't as fun anymore. And that's a shame. I guess that extends to us slightly, but we've been doing more serious stuff for a good reason. We haven't stopped doing stuff like this.
No, we're still fun. We've just been doing a very, very, very heavy duty subject. But yeah, no, I mean the internet has gotten so. Oh, yeah, 2001, it was Shitpost Central. 2008, was it 2008? 4chan was around. Was 4chan around before that? But even so,
4chan came online in 2004, but it really became more popular in about 2006, 2007.
Yes.
I was on 4chan in about 2006.
So
maybe I think early 2006. Because I remember like Chanology starting, which was 07. And I was definitely on it before that. Because I'm, you know, I would what would be considered in internet parlance an old fag.
You are definitely an old fag.
You know, I remember Desu, and you know, I remember why, you know, Sage or Sage, if you're being a weeb, goes in every field. it's interesting, like bumping into people who are also old fags and like hat tipping about it.
That's kind of how you and I met, was hat tipping about old faggery and stuff like
yes,
that. Going,
yes.
Hold on, so you're right.
Well, that's that.
I remember that. Damn. Yeah.
It, is, it's something that feds can't do either.
No, like, they do it very badly.
Again, it's part of my meme lecture that I've updated recently, but it's technically what would be considered a shibboleth. If you know what a shibboleth is.
I do know what a shibboleth is. Okay, I haven't heard that word in a while. Yes.
A shibboleth is a term that is used as a designator for belonging to a specific group.
Yes.
And it's usually a cultural or even ethnic group. And the whole thing, it's like a biblical thing. The one of the tribes of Israel used the term shibboleth when they were at war with each other, because one of the tribes had a different version of the Hebrew language and couldn't say shibboleth correctly because they had no sh sound in their language. They said like sibboleth.
They said sibboleth, yes, that's right.
And if they said sibboleth, they get killed.
it's kind of like asking a German spy to say squirrel. Yes, I'm waiting for him to say squivel.
Yes. That is quite literally a shibboleth.
Shibboleth, yes.
And old faggotry is like the ultimate form of online shibboleth for people. There's very few people who I've encountered who remember all the stuff, like the finger boxes. And even like stuff that was like gay normie memes for a while, like Long Cat. People don't remember who Long Cat was or how long he was. So... the correct answer is Long Cat is indeed long, but again, that was like 2007 gay normie memes, and even that's gone. Yeah, right. Thank you, Charles Kahn. That's like Wahatir or Wapanese and all that stuff. Yes, Habib is a good one.
Habib,
because I saw Dank using that recently and was very happy. I do not Habib it.
Oh, sorry. I'm speaking of cats. I am being jumped on by my little guy.
Fucking no! Let's not talk about Twinkie House.
No.
I forgot Twinkie House. That's such a stupid meme.
Oh no.
I forgot that was the whole thing with Habib and Twinkie House and all that. Yeah, fucking. Well, they already tried to bring back Boxy. That didn't go very well.
Boxy, Christ, Boxy, who looks exactly like Shoe on Head.
Who looks exactly like that porn star? What's her name?
All of them.
Because there's that whole joke that like Boxy was part of a failed cloning experiment. And that's why there's so many Boxies lying around.
There are quite a lot of people that look a lot like Boxy. But no one is quite as hyperactive and intense as Boxy was.
Yes, God. It's Plasma Rob. They don't even remember Ceiling Cat either.
God almighty.
Yeah, Kiwi, that's it. Yes. Kiwi, the... she was also made in the Boxy Factory.
Yes.
Boxy Factory. But yeah, no, people don't remember the old memes. And it'd be interesting to get like an actual lecture hall full of people and be right. Like, right, you know, do some old fag testing and just ask people, you know, before they can look up on their phones if they can define certain memes or tell me where certain memes came from. Because I bet you most people, even in these circles, wouldn't be able to. But that's just me like flexing my internet autism.
Christ. Fucking Boxy. Now I've got the goddamn fucking video playing in my head. Pocky plus dear. Boxy equals love. Ah!
there's the whole Boxy war in like 08, the Queen of 4chan stuff, and I don't know, simpler time. Again, simpler time. Very very Habbo raid. Very Pools Closed. Again, people don't remember Pools Closed. That's one of the most famous ones. Because I said, like, Pools Closed due to AIDS at one point, and somebody didn't get it, and I felt really awkward. Because I thought they'd understand it, you know.
Yeah, but you get buried so much into... We still do it now. You get buried into culture so much, you then go into the real world and talk to normies, and you say something, and then it's like, oh, that really did not land. I better just ignore that happened.
Even people calling each other like ex-fag as well is just, that's very of an era.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm the internet equivalent of like an old man. And I've only been online, like, regularly, like I said, since about 2001.
Oh, really? You do, do you? do tell how that feels.
Yeah. Well, you're like the internet equivalent, like a wise old sage. Okay, here's one of the things we talk about in the democratization. We keep track of the world population. Because the world population in 1907 was, you know, we're just crossing into the billion territory around about then.
Yes.
And the world population, when you reach World War One and World War Two, we keep an eye on that because as we talked about, the revolution of mass and scale is exponentially more impactful once you get these doubling of populations in certain places over 50 years.
Yes.
More than in some areas.
Oh, it's more than double over 50 years. It's things double over almost every 20 years. We are going to. I think it's slowed down recently, but we are going to hit 10 billion a lot sooner than we think. We think it's sort of like, oh, the population of the world's 7 billion. I've already heard people in authority call it 8 billion. That's a lot of people to be different by, and I think they're just sort of softening people up for it.
Well, it is, but my point about that is that, like, think about the internet population.
Yeah.
Compared, like, the 2000 was still kind of the same era in internet terms as the mid-90s. No, the home computer revolution was going on with a lot of people buying more PCs, and it was, you know, picking up steam, and it was really, I think, really the desktop computer reached its height in about 2005, 2006. But you still had to have a desktop. That was still a big barrier to entry. And the internet before, like, the online revolution, before the iPhone, essentially, was very, very different, a much different place than it was post normification, really. Like, the population of the internet in 2000 was so much smaller than it is now, and so much more technically dedicated, because you had to have a much larger knowledge. You know, there weren't a lot of older people on the internet, and if they were generally, like, computer science people or people who'd been fiddling with BBSs. Mm-hmm. Those people were, like, actual wizards back then. Those people could build you stuff out of transistors and, you know, actually do phone freaking and shit like that.
Yes.
It's quite funny to think about it, but the internet is a great example in my lifetime of seeing the damage that a mass influx, like, there's been, like, uncontrolled mass immigration on the internet, and it's ruined it. That's really what's happened. What happened is we had this great, almost like pastoral culture where everyone had their own websites. It was like having city states. And what's happened then, the normies have come in and it's become, like, urbanized.
Oh, yeah.
We are the indigenous peoples of the internet.
Facebook legitimately ruined that. Because before Facebook, it was, for God's sakes, don't tell people on the internet who you are, where you live, or what your real name is. Don't let them, you know, find a way of spoofing your IP, etc., etc. Just hide. The internet is full of, you know, the Wild West. Obscure your identity. Facebook comes along. Suddenly the boomers start getting onto Facebook, and everyone's sitting there posting pictures of their lunch and a nice cocktail that they had or whatever. And I mean, I'm not going to criticize people for posting pictures of cats, because I've been doing a little bit more than that lately than I normally do. But, you know, such is the life of having a kitten. And kittens are adorable. Prove me wrong.
I remember the wasn't that that hypothermia PSA? Sorry, Yiz did another donation and said, are you all fucking up from a 3-brain hypothermia? Vaguely I remember that. That was like a 2001 meme, good lord. But yeah, my point is, though, is that the internet during this time was a much more different place. You know, much more different. God, my grammar's terrible. Much different place. And the population wasn't there, and the organization wasn't there, really, to call out a lot of what we saw in the subsequent era. I mean, the people who were doing it was talk radio. It was Alex Jones, essentially. That's where he really got his, like, second big break, was 9/11. You know, there's some of his famous rants about the fact that he basically came out day one and said that there's something up with this. And, you know, where there isn't, it's quite funny that was one of the major kind of cultural outlets for what became a lot of the dissident internet feeling that is very clearly actually anti-establishment, because they want to drown it out and they want to make it go away.
Mm-hmm.
And the population, like, imagine the online discussion Because I was, you know, I was on the internet, but I wasn't in the forums and stuff like that. You know, I was a 10-year-old boy at that point. You know, I was actually using the internet for educational purposes mostly. You know, I had supervised internet time, and we didn't have separate devices. The PC was in the living room, so you know, you're generally browsing the open. So I was like on like Ed and Eddie fan sites and things like that, or looking up Red Alert 2 mods. That was my internet use for the longest time. But imagine the internet forum stuff in the Wild West internet of 2001 in the wake of 9/11. It must have been absolutely insane. And all that stuff is, you know, it's gone now. It's like tears in rain.
Yes. Oh, good reference. Good reference.
Like tears in rain.
Oh, doesn't work with that accent. You've got to have Rick Hoyer saying it.
I've suddenly turned into Alfred.
Yeah, Alfred.
I turned myself into a national tragedy, Mr. White. I'm 9/11 Alfred. No. Speaking of separate websites, as we draw this to a close, I am still hoping to host an event in Manchester. I'm actually waiting to hear back from them to give me the link to to give a deposit, basically. So I'll have that like fully secured soon. It's like Tesla secured, so I'm going to announce for those who are going. I've already bought tickets. I'll probably announce the event in the next few weeks, and some of the guests as well, because I don't want to confirm too much. But that's. I actually registered and semi-built this WordPress, but I did design, you know, I have a separate website for what I'm doing at least. That's nomosevents.co.uk, and we're having one in Manchester here in the UK in October, on the 23rd of October. And that's looking like more and more like it's actually happening. And we might sneak in before any lockdown, so fingers crossed with that.
Yes, that lockdown does look a little bit... I don't know, it depends if they make the lockdown law or whether they just sort of suggest it. We might get away with it. But yes.
Yeah, they're also hopefully backpedaling on the COVID passport. So
I need to make a decision on that one as well, because I'm not sure whether I'll be there or not. I think I am. I'm hoping.
We're holding you a ticket, and we're holding a couple of tickets in reserve.
Great, so. Because I've got one or two. There's craziness at this end at the moment, and then my car died this week. So yes, I don't know what I'm doing at the moment, but yes, hopefully I should be there. Don't know if I'll speak. I know you asked if I wanted to or not. I kind of do, but I'm also, I know what I'm like when I get a couple of beers down me and I decide to talk, and suddenly it's the, I can't be bothered with this script. Let me tell you what we're really going to do, lads. And then it's, you know, oh no, why am I being carried away by the police? Sort of tear. So, who knows? Maybe. I'll try to get
this wonderful Fox Troika. They added me my server, but they said I made Jordan Peterson recite the Tears in Rain monologue when not Jordan Peterson was still up.
Have you got the recording of that?
We can actually close with that. I'll upload that here.
Mm-hmm.
Very very quickly.
You've got the recording of it.
It's not. It's the bot, you know, the bot of him.
Oh no,
quite good. Like
it was an excellent bot. Yeah,
there you go. You can put this on the stream. I think it should come through the audio.
It should. Okay, hold on.
I've seen things you people wouldn't believe. Attacked ships on fire off the shoulder of Orion. I watched sea beams glitter in the dark near the Tannhauser Gate. All those moments will be lost in time, like tears in rain. Time to die.
Damn. Was that loud enough? Did people hear that?
It was a little bit quiet, but yeah, you could hear it on stream. So
I can try and get it louder. I can get it louder if we want.
No, that's fine. We could hear it.
Okay, because I'm that's awesome. I love that. Thank you.
That's really good. Thank you for that, Foxtroker. Mm. That's a great way to end the stream. But yes, thank you guys for watching. Is there anything you need to show before we go? I know you're doing D&D there.
I'm doing D&D on Mondays. We've already done 3 episodes, which is it's better than the normal average on these things.
Just quickly send me the link to your... Sorry, I've not got your YouTube in the description. I need to change that.
Let me find it for you.
Yeah, I will put that in the chat before we go. Just stall for time before everybody and buggers off.
What I will also say is we haven't hasn't been completely completely sort of arranged yet, but I think I will be joining Rose next Wednesday for a Based Cats edition of Seal of Approval.
Yes.
Where the general theme is everyone will have their pussies out on the screen.
Hey, very funny.
Uh-huh.
Let me double check we've not had any more donations in that time. Nope. But yes. Let me get that up in the chat for people so they can go subscribe to you if they want to. You know, I'm not quite sure why they would. But
why not? I mean, you know, it is going to be half finished Deus Ex streams and D&D, but it's worth it. And hey, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna do this because gratuitous pussy shot. Everybody seems to like it when you get the kitty out.
Yes, they do. Everybody does like cats.
This is my new cat that I got. Very recently, he's actually 4 or 5 months old now, but I've had him for 2 weeks, and he keeps waking me up at 6 a.m. and is just taking up all my time at the moment. But he is massively adorable with it, even if he keeps on breaking absolutely everything in the house and trashing my massive supply of toilet paper that I've been stashing for the last year.
Cats will do that.
So yeah, no, he's. He's great.
Anyway, yes, that's enough gratuitous cat.
Okay.
Thank you guys for watching, and that's good night from me.
And that's good night from him.
Goodbye.
Take it easy.